I feel ministered to. So thank you. So last week, we started a two-part series on the Lord's Prayer. And we started with some biblical context, right? We looked at that it's in the book of Matthew, that the book of Matthew was probably written in Aramaic, the language of God's people, and written to Jewish followers of Jesus. We then looked at how the book began, and because it was written to Jewish followers of Jesus, they wanted some prophecy, right? How do we know you're the Messiah? So they were including a lot of that in there. And we also saw that the Lord's Prayer is in probably Jesus' most famous sermon that we're aware of, the Sermon on the Mount. All right, so today we're going to do a little review. I'm just going to come over again, God as Father, and then looking at us as children. Because then again, when we look at us as children, we're of course also considering God as Father. And so today, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us both a format in which to pray, right? And also radically shapes how we are to understand God and our relationship to Him. And again, last week we looked more carefully at God as Father, but this week we will look at God as Father and us as children. So let's pray as we move forward. Lord God, thank you for this day, and I just pray for your peace over us. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds, even open our bodies to what you have for us today. And I pray in the name of Jesus, a special word for each one sitting here. We pray this day that you would prepare our hearts for our time of communion. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, amen. All right. So one interesting thing I mentioned last week is that in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, we don't hear God mentioned as Father very much. It's sort of an obscure reference. So when Jesus sort of shows up on this hill and says, your Father in heaven, right? They're like, wow. You know, it's everything in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, sort of catches your attention, right? It was sort of shocking to them. And I think we hear God as Father so much, it doesn't shock us anymore, right? The shock factor is gone. But I want you to remember that it wasn't gone for them. That was another part of, oh, God our Father? And I had also shared a quote by Dale Bruner, and we sort of ran by it, and I wanted to look at it one more time today. And he's also, I consider, a friend of mine. He is a theologian who has written a couple of commentaries on Matthew. He has a lovely one on Romans, one on John. But he is a lovely man. So he wrote, when Jesus gives us the right to call his Father by the address our Father, he is passing on something of his own priceless relation to God. We often think of what Jesus does on the cross for us, don't we? The former seminary professor of mine called it the crosswork of Jesus, right? The crosswork of Jesus. And we think about what happens on the crosswork of Jesus. What do we get rid of? What does he get rid of for us? Our sins, right? But do you know what else Jesus gives us? Admission into the family of God in a very special way. Our spirits are born again. After Pentecost, right, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so while he says this on the Sermon on the Mount, there is this sense where it is us sitting here filled with the Holy Spirit who truly can know this in a new way, right? Our Father. God, Jesus, helps us to relate to God in this new and powerful way. And what a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. We also covered the word hypocrites, right? Which is someone who's acting in a show. And that we aren't to be the people pretending when we pray. We're not to be showing off for others. That when we say our Father, we are being introduced into a new space of intimacy. Jesus says, your Father in heaven already knows what you ask before you ask. So then why are we asking, right? Because he's creating relationship. What does every child want? Attention. Just give me your attention. And our Father in heaven is perfect. And he says, I'm listening. I want to hear from you. So Our Father. So we're going to look at the prayer. Our Father. Through Jesus, we get this special, confident access to God. We don't need to sit and kneel and pray and babble blah, 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 for like 30 minutes before we think, oh, maybe now he'll listen. No, we have a dad who's like, I'm right here. I don't want to hear the babbling. Just get right to it. Let's just talk. Ephesians 3:11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he, Jesus, oh, no, I'm sorry, the Father carried out in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. God wants us to come boldly to the throne room. We don't need to apologize. Well, God, I know you got a lot on your plate with the world right now. I don't know if you want to hear from me. Our God is outside of time. You are his total focus. You're not bugging God. There's not other more important things. He says, come and pray confidently. You know, it reminds me, my father, my stepfather, I mentioned I have three dads, owned a bakery, right? And there were workers at the bakery. But when I came into the bakery, I could just walk right up and talk to him, right? I didn't need to make an appointment. In fact, I just walked right in his office. I went back and grabbed some bread. You know what I mean? Like, I just kind of did what I wanted. That was my dad. That's how it is with our Father in heaven. We don't need to put so much in the coin box before he listens to us. I don't need to do three good deeds and be like, oh, hope he'll talk. It's not 30 minutes on my knees. It's just, hey, Dad, right? That's a blessing. We get that through Jesus. This is something new, but it is beautiful. Our Father who is in the Hebrew, it's the heavens. They thought of God as the heavens as a plural. Now, I'm going to confess, I can't completely explain that. And when you look at all the commentaries, they kind of can't completely explain that. They've got a lot of idea, but this is what I know. And something really important I want to say to you today. Heaven's a real place. And whether the heavens means different aspects, like you got the throne room, you got this area and that area, whether it's string theory and different dimensions, or I don't know, people have got lots of opinions on this. The point is, it's not our Father in fairyland, right? It's not our Father who lives in some made-up place. I want you to know you serve the real, living, and true God. And the real and true living God, the creator of the universe, our Father who's in the heavenlies, is as much in the heavenlies as he is right here with you. He created time and space. And he's with us. Our Father who is in the heavens, hallowed be your name. My little girl said to me, Halloween be your name? I was like, no, hallowed be your name. Hallowed. Hallowed means holy. It's actually the verb for holy. It is being holy. Agatheto. That's what it is. But one of the great things about holy, you know when you think of the temple, the ancient temple? There were certain items in the temple that were set apart for special use by God. Like you didn't just walk into the temple and take the menorah out like for your basketball game, right? No, that's the menorah for the temple. There are certain things that were used specifically in the temple. And that's where this word holy comes from. Holy be your name. Holy and set apart for special sacred purposes be your name. That doesn't mean that sometimes we just allow it to drop out of our mouth because we drop something on our foot. Right? Jesus is calling us to a high standard. Holy be your name. We are praying emphatically here because be is a word of command. It's called an imperative. So in the ancient world, it was like all, oh gosh, it's very hard to read. It's just all caps, no spaces, no punctuation. And so they put these imperatives, and when you see an imperative, it's like all bold, underlined with an exclamation mark. Holy be your name. That's why I did that. Those are your imperatives. Holy be your name. You know, we study the names of God. Has anyone ever done a names of God, like Bible study? Yahweh. Anyone can tell me what Yahweh is? I am that I am. I was, I am, I will be. Right? I am. And Jesus. What is Jesus' name? It's a name of God. Savior. Well, you know what's interesting? When my little girls were little, someone said, "What's your mommy's name?" Mommy. There comes a point when your name is Mommy and your name is Daddy. Your name is Auntie. Your name is Uncle. That's your name. And what is the name of God here? Father. Pater. What does it say to us when we analyze the names of God and we dig deep in there? God's name is Father. There's a lot in there for us to unpack. In fact, the name in the Aramaic was probably Abba, which is Dad or Daddy, depending on which scholar you ask. Our Dad, who's in the heavens, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Your kingdom come. And where is this kingdom? Well, the second coming of Christ was promised, and I really can't tell you much about when that's going to be. We are to expect it. But we do know that Jesus says in Luke 17:20, now he was questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming. And he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Jesus, of course, is part of the Trinity. But once Pentecost happened and believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, we actually, our bodies are temples of God on earth. The kingdom of God is in our midst because the Spirit of God is within us. And in Ephesians, we learn about what it looks like. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these things we really want, right? The kingdom of God is with us. Every time we are loving, every time we are generous, every time, right? The kingdom of God is here right now. It is both something that will be and something that is for us right now. I want you to leave here knowing peace isn't just for the heavenlies. Peace is something for you right now. It is God's will for you to have that. Joy isn't something for later. Joy is for right now. And look at the rest of the list. Patience. Patience is for something right now. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is God's will for you now. Not just as a condemnation. Well, I wasn't very patient this morning, right? But as a blessing. It is a blessing of the kingdom of God. It is a blessing of your Father in heaven. God is working that out in you right now, and it is his will for you. Our Father who is in the heavens, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Imperatives. Come, Lord Jesus. He wants us to cry passionately. What does he say in Revelation? He doesn't want the lukewarm Christians. He's like, I'd rather be cold or hot, but let's be hot. God wants you to want him and be passionate for his kingdom to come. And then we come to the next part. So we first have our Father, and who is he, right? Holy is his name. He's in the heavenlies. And then it says, give. Look, another all bold. Give us our daily bread. God wants you to come boldly before him and say, Father, I have a need. In the ancient world, bread was part of every meal. Barley for the poor, wheat for the rich. But everyone had bread kind of as a main staple. As anyone, now my family is Mexican-American. And so tortillas are a big part of our meal, right? And you can do a lot with a tortilla. And in the Middle East, you might think more of a pita bread where you kind of dip it in hummus, you wrap your meat in it, you can, all kinds of stuff. And so the bread, when it was unleavened, was also more like a utensil. It didn't have, sometimes they had knives, but they didn't have forks. It was like always appetizers, right? Everything in small bits. And you sort of wrapped it and ate it. Bread's very important to the ancient world. In fact, if they didn't get their bread, Rome found this out, you get a bread riot, right? And then, in France, French Revolution, does anyone remember what they did to their bread at that time because they were so poor? They added sawdust to it to fill the bellies. Bread is a very important commodity in the ancient world. Give us this day our daily bread. Another important commodity, another important part of antiquity. The mother usually didn't have rights. Right? I mean, sorry. We didn't have rights. You had to have a husband or a father to care for you, like you didn't get to inherit your property. And it was the father's responsibility to provide bread for everybody. In fact, Paul says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 2:5-8. The truth is, in a loving family, a child can expect, I'm hungry, I want a snack, right? How much more your heavenly Father, Jesus, right after, right? We're in Matthew 6, Matthew 7, 9, 11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? When Jesus says, call God your father, he's placing a lot of cultural and social expectations on that. Give us our daily bread. Daddy, I'm hungry. I'm guessing that every child in this room can ask their mommy and daddy for food and have the clear expectation there's going to be something. Right? Mommy or daddy's going to do something to find me some bread. How much more your Father in heaven who is perfect and perfectly loving. Now, this gets sticky though, doesn't it? Psalm of David, Psalm 37, 25. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. But somewhere in time, and maybe in this room even, sometimes you've done without. God's people have done without their bread sometimes. They have starved. And what is beautiful about what we learn about Jesus and what we're celebrating today is Jesus is the bread of life, isn't he? And he doesn't come to just give us the bread of the belly. That's what he's trying to explain to the disciples, right? He sees the woman in Samaria and she's like, oh, I've already got bread. And they're like, who came and brought you bread? And he's like, oh, you don't get it. Jesus sustains our souls. There are times when things get tough. But the Spirit within us and God within us is there to get us through that tough time, whether our bellies are hungry or full. I want to remind you that when the tough time comes, nourish yourself on the bread of God. And then I also want to remind us that it is the responsibility of the church to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ and our fellow brothers and sisters who are creations of God, right? Let it never be said that we know of someone and they will go hungry. Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's why that suitcase is over full. Praise God, right? James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. It is important that we do two things. One, that when we know of a need, we do our best to help feed the bellies of our brothers and sisters in Christ and those who are yet to become our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? But I want to remind us that when that day comes when we cry out, oh, my Father in heaven, I have a need, that we are not too ashamed or proud to receive the blessing of our brothers and sisters in Christ to us. It is a blessing to give, and sometimes God gives us the blessing to receive. And that is also a beautiful thing. Now, and forgive us our debts as we also forgave our debtors. I've been speaking a lot of children, probably because I was thinking about my own children coming and being with us here today. And I'm not speaking of you in particular. But sometimes children at home can whine and bicker and argue and fight and get into trouble. Okay, I'm going to ask you, are you ready? I'm not saying you two have ever done any of those things. Never. But if you had ever done those things, do mommy and daddy still love you? Yes. The Church of Jesus Christ whines and bickers and fights and does naughty things sometimes. But when we have a relationship with Almighty God as Father, we have the expectation that he loves us anyway. He's like, come on, right? And this forgiveness is exemplified in Jesus on the cross. There isn't a limit to his goodness. There is no limit to his forgiveness. His mercies are new every morning. I want you to remember, whatever the past has been, in Christ, to you, forgiveness is always a yes and an amen. He wants you to come and be forgiven. He wants you to come be renewed. He wants you to be washed clean. He is the God of second and third and fourth and an infinite number of chances. He just wants you to keep coming and trying again and again. I want you to know that God will never give up on you. He will always forgive you. How much more the grace we give our children will our Father in heaven give us? Because I can run short on grace sometimes, but he does not. Amen? So I'm going to push you a little here. All right, are you ready? What's more important, speaking of forgiveness, forgiving our debts as we forgive our debtors? Is it more important to forever hold on to the $500 your brother never paid you back? Oh. Or to let it go? How about that insult and that grudge? Do you ever just sort of burn when you remember someone's name because they insulted you? Imagine reconciliation. Sometimes things happen that cause an inner rage. I don't even need to mention, because you'll come up with a whole list in your mind right now of what could cause an inner rage. We don't want to forgive because then we feel like it's saying it's okay and they get away with it. But I want to remind you, if they're that bad, they might not even remember. The only one suffering now is you. When we imprison someone within our body, in fact, it's like, we'll just do it. Put your hand out. Got a little exercise. Put your hand out. And I want you to imagine someone that did something that's just, you still burn up about it. And I want you to make a fist. For as mad as you feel inside, open up. Oh, I got marks. I've clearly got some forgiveness work. Anyone, did it hurt? Did it hurt your hand when you squeezed really tight because your nails? That rage, that's what it does to us. Our jaws clench, our bowels tighten, our backs and necks. And what is forgiveness? It's not saying you get a pass. It's saying I give this one to you and you deal with them. I trust your justice, Lord. I'm done holding them. And sometimes when you release, it is a little painful. It hurts a little bit to forgive because your neck's been tight for so long and your jaw's been clenched and your belly's been tight and you gotta shake it out. But it is good for you. I want to encourage you. You're the one who gets blessed in forgiveness. Yes, there can be reconciliation. Yes, there can be all those things, and those are good. But sometimes the person's dead. You don't know where they are. Who knows? It doesn't mean there's no justice served. It just means you release them from you. Whew, and that's good. And forgiveness is important. Our Father who is in the heavens, holy and set apart be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgave our debtors. And do not let us be brought into trial or testing or temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's not saying, oh, Jesus, please just don't walk me into temptation today, because he's not going to do that. You have people who are suffering for their faith. They don't know what's going to happen. You know, persecution wasn't like everywhere at the same time in the ancient world. It just sort of popped up like the measles, right? Over here, ooh, over there, over there. And certain regions had it a little more. But on any given day, some, I'll just say pagan, that's the word that we have for that. People who didn't believe in Jesus, they had a variety of gods. If their crops got worms, oh, they became Christians. The gods must be mad at us. Let's not sell them any bread from the market, right? your neighbors could be mean or nasty or persecute you because they don't understand what's happening. That's how persecution in the ancient world happened. This is a prayer to be kept from trials. This is a prayer to be delivered from evil. Now, I mentioned the word pagan. It's taken a whole new meaning in our world today, right? Eugene, we're filled with people who are proud to be pagan. We live in a time where evil is just loud and like, woo, I came to Eugene and I looked at the bumper stickers and I was like, wow. I mean, like, I won't even repeat them, but you've seen them. I know you've seen them. I had only just seen, like, the Jesus folk bumper stickers going crazy in other places, but not here. We got a whole new thing. And so, here is the prayer. Do not let us be brought into trial. Deliver us from evil. We also need to pray for our spiritual, physical, and mental protection because we need wisdom, we need discernment, we need courage, and sometimes we need some supernatural protection too. That doesn't hurt, right? So ask. Our Father who is in the heavens, holy and set apart be your name, your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgave our debtors. Do not let us be brought into trial and temptation, but deliver us from evil. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, good Protestant church. What are we missing? Thine is the doxology. Very good. This is King James. If you have a King James Bible, it's still in there. I don't want you to look, but I'm just going to tell you. If you look in the NIV, it won't be in there. If you look in the NASB, it won't be in there. I don't know about the ESV, I'm assuming not, but the KJV has, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's a later addition, but you know what I love about it? And I have to tell you, I'm pretty particular because of the Greek, but I love that it brings us back to our topic, our Father, right? We go from our Father and who he is to us as children and how we engage with him right back to, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Who is your Father? Your Father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what does that make you? A prince or a princess? You are an ambassador for Christ. You are part of a royal priesthood, right? You have rights and responsibilities and privileges. It is a blessing to have God as your Father. In closing, there's a song by an artist named Chris Tomlin called Good, Good Father. I will not sing it for you today, but I am going to read some of the words. Oh, I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like. But I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It is who you are. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide. Because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It is who you are. It is who you are. It's who you are. And I loved by you. It's who I am. It's who you are. It's who you are. Child of the Most High God, do you know who you are? You're a child named Agapetos, beloved. Come to your perfect Father who perfectly loves you just the way you are. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We pray that you would heal us from anything that has gotten in the way of our relationship to our Father in heaven. Heal us. heal our minds, heal our spirits, heal our bodies. And teach us how to pray to you. Teach us, Father, so that we might fully know what love really is. And let us feel fully loved so that we will no longer have fear and we will no longer have anxiety. I pray the peace and the love and the joy of Jesus Christ over you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.